Please pray with me. Oh God, we are humbled before you, thinking about and considering what your Son has done on our behalf. Oh God, may we honor him today in our hearts. May we glorify him in what he has done on our behalf. I pray that your word would be heard this evening and that you would fill our hearts with your Spirit. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? These are the famous words that Jesus cried out as he suffered on the cross. Perhaps like me, you have heard preachers speak about these words. A common thread I heard growing up is that the Father turned his face from his Son and truly forsook him. That in that moment, the eternal Father and Son were separated from one another. That Jesus, the Messiah, despaired in the absence of his heavenly Father. So did God truly forsake his Son upon the cross? To answer that question, we need to recognize that Jesus is quoting a psalm of David in that moment on the cross. In fact, these words are the opening line to the rest of the psalm. Please turn with me to Psalm 22, and let us walk through the text together. That's Psalm 22. To the choir master, according to the Doe of the Dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Here we see those famous words. David expresses his feelings of forsakenness to God. He cries out in frustration that he has not been delivered from his sufferings. In the Gospels, Jesus takes up the cry of David. This is what is said in Mark chapter 15, verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Let's continue in the psalm and see where David goes from here. So continuing in verse 3, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame." Although David has expressed his frustrations to God, he turns to the history of his people. He knows that God delivered the fathers of his people who trusted in him. They believed in God and were rescued. This gives David reason to continue hoping and trusting in God. Let's continue in verse 6. "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in Yahweh. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him." Here we see the psalmist turn back to the present. The people despise and mock him. They taunt him with sarcasm, ridiculing the idea that Yahweh might rescue him. The Apostle Matthew quotes this verse and demonstrates how this psalm was fulfilled in the crucifixion of Jesus. In chapter 27 of his gospel, Matthew says the following, starting in verse 39. "And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, 'He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way." Here we see the grotesque mockery thrown at Jesus as he died on the cross. The passers-by, the chief priests, scribes, elders, and even the robbers being crucified with him hurled insults. We see that the psalmist in Psalm 22 and sounding more like Jesus. Let's continue in verse 9. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Again, the psalmist turns back to God in his distress. He remembers how God has been with him from the very womb. He asks God to remain close to him. Look back with me to verse 12. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. Here, the psalmist's enemies are described as mighty beasts. They threaten him with their power. Continuing in verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. Now the psalmist describes his physical suffering. His bones are out of joint. His strength is failing. He is weak. He is dying of thirst, and he expects his imminent death. We continue in verse 16. For dogs encompass me. A couple of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing, they cast lots. Again, this man describes his enemies as threatening beasts. And this is the place in the psalm where we see some unusual statements. These enemies have pierced his hands and feet. Despite this, none of his bones have been broken. And these evildoers cast lots for his garments. This is where the psalmist really begins to sound like Jesus. Piercing the hands and feet is unique to the torture of crucifixion, a practice that would not be invented for hundreds of years after David. We know that Jesus, just like the Passover lamb, did not have any of his bones broken during his suffering. The Apostle John says the following in chapter 19 of his gospel, starting in verse 31. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first, and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. We also know that the soldiers who crucified Jesus cast lots for his garments. In the same chapter of John's gospel, he says this in verse 23. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. In these gospel passages, we see these seemingly out-of-place details in Psalm 22 fulfilled in the crucifixion of Jesus. Continue with me in verse 19. But you, O Yahweh, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. This is where we see a switch in the psalm. Although the psalmist has been tortured and laid in the dust of death, he now calls out to Yahweh for deliverance. And as we see in verse 21, he has been rescued. Continuing in verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear Yahweh, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. Although he has suffered much, this man says he will glorify God's name amongst his brothers in the midst of his congregation. He will tell them how God has not hidden his face from him. He will tell God's people about how Yahweh paid attention to his cries of distress and acted on his behalf. We see that God never turned his face away from his son. For that, in quoting this psalm, Jesus brings us to understand that in the midst of suffering, God does not hide his face from those he loves. Let's continue in verse 25. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise Yahweh. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to Yahweh, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for kingship belongs to Yahweh, and he rules over the nations. We see here that not only Israel will worship God, but all of the families of the nations will be ruled by Yahweh. Jesus has not delivered from death, has not been delivered from death just for the offspring of Jacob, but also for the Gentiles. This suffering and restoration of the seed of Abraham will bless everyone to the ends of the earth. Let's finish out this psalm, starting in verse 29. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. The psalm ends by prophesying what things will result through the death and deliverance of this son of David. Even those who die will bow down before him. We see here the resurrection of the dead, which has been promised to us through the Lord Jesus. This reality is stated even more clearly in the passage from Philippians, chapter 2, that was read this evening. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So even those who are under the earth, who have passed out of this life, will one day be brought back to life and will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that Jesus quoted this psalm so that we may see all of these things fulfilled in him. So let us fulfill the last verses spoken in this psalm. Let us serve God and tell of his deliverance to every generation. Let us proclaim his righteousness. Let us trust in God as Jesus did on the cross. May we know and understand that God never forsook his son. May we also understand that he will not forsake us, as long as we are found in Christ. Though we may be in distress, though God may seem hidden from us, let us remember and understand that we are never hidden from his sight. Let us trust in the salvation wrought through the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord. Please pray with me. Well, God, we do pray these things today, that these things written down so long ago through your servant, David, inspired by your Holy Spirit, these words that were fulfilled in your Son, we pray that we would trust in these things and that these things would be fulfilled in us as we are joined to him in his death and in his resurrection. I pray, God, that the nations would come to you, that they would bow before you. I pray, God, that those who belong to you, who have fallen, who are asleep, who are in the dust of the earth, that one day they'll be given life and that they'll be raised, and that we can hope in this, that they will bow down before you in new life. May we hope in this, and may we trust in you. We pray these things in the name of your Son. Amen.